With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Jones! Bowden! He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match.
Hello and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. After the first day of the third LV Insurance Test match, this podcast is in association with LV Insurance, the sponsors of the Test series. And, well, you know, bizarre is obviously the first word that comes to mind. But actually also, there's a sort of deja vu about it too, because it's something like 10 years since that similarly bizarre day in Melbourne, Boxing Day Test match, when England were really up against it. Australia had won the previous test in Perth and were back to one all in the series. And you really felt Boxing Day, Australia, they're going to really dominate. They were bowled out for 98 and England were 150 for naught at the end of the day's play. And today, you know, a sort of similarly extraordinary circumstance where Kohli wins his first ever toss, practically, playing against England with England at home. Understandably decides to bat first. I mean, we can debate that, obviously. But the game gets rolled for 78, and now England 120 for none. So, I mean, just the whole series turned on its head in 6 hours.
Yeah, absolutely perfect day for England. I mean, it's a mug's game, isn't it? Trying to forecast what's going to happen next between these two sides. Yeah, England had an MCG day, a Trent Bridge day. I mean, think back to 2015 when they bowled Australia out for 60 and they were 274 for four at the close. Okay, they're not quite as advanced as that, but they are in a sort of equally dominant position with no wickets down. You know, great day for lots of England individuals, really, when you think about it. Not least Hamid getting through and making a half century. He had a bit of luck to get to his half century with that nick through the slips, and Rohit Sharma not able to grasp the chance. But, you know, excellent day for him. Overton coming back into the side. I mean, when he's played for England, they've normally lost, but they've got a great opportunity here. And after what happened at Lords on that last day, that sort of really, it wasn't quite humiliating, but it felt a little bit like that for England, that India really steamrolled them. To come back and do what they've done today, you know, is remarkable. Two hugely contrasting days of cricket. And of course, the other thing that happened today as well, which is worth noting when you think back to Lords, that partnership on the last day between Bumrah and Shami, and what happens today, of course, both out first ball. Astonishing. Let's talk about the toss decision then, Yoz. So Kohli winning the toss. What I thought was interesting about it was how decisive Kohli was at the toss. He said, yeah, we obviously you've got to make a decision. Yeah, we're going to bat first. And I really got the strong impression from him listening to his interview that he thought this pitch is going to be dry later on. You know, get enough runs in the first innings and it's going to spin, and you know it's not going to be easy batting last. And Joe Root then saying, you know, it was a bit tacky. So I sort of got from Coley that he thought the pitch was dry and going to get drier, and from Joe Root, who didn't really commit himself, saying, well, you know, it was a bit tacky and the overheads were favouring England. Of course, it is Joe Root's home ground. You said you weren't surprised that Coley batted first.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the old adage, isn't it? If you win the toss, you 70% of the time you bat first. The other 30% of the time you think about fielding first and actually still bat first. I mean, maybe 20% of the time and 10% of the time you put the other team in. Runs on the board are so important in Test cricket. Although that's the as I say, that's the old adage. But Nathan Leeman, and amongst others, the sort of, you know, the guru of analysis and kind of stats and doing the what he calls the Monte Carlo simulator, putting thousands of matches into a processor and working out what is the best strategy when you win the toss in certain situations at certain grounds, has come up with, well, you know, in the past, has come up with the fact that often it's the best day to bat is the second and third day of a test match. And actually, the first day is always almost invariably difficult. I mean, reading pitches is terribly difficult. Even the guys at home often struggle to get their pitches right or, you know, read their pitches right. Often also you think, well, these pitches are maybe a little bit tacky to start with, but it'll flatten out. The best time to be batting will be the first and second day. If you get over the first hour or two, it should flatten out. But the history of Headingley is that actually it seems to get better over time. So batting later in the match is probably the best thing to do. And also, if you are going to bat first and you think it's dry and it's going to spin later, why only play one spinner?
Well, there is that to it. And, you know, he did say that we did think about playing a second spinner. But, of course, I think what they like, and it's worked for them pretty well in the first two test matches, you know, this idea of playing four pace bowlers. I mean, it does seem incredible that they're leaving out Ravichandran Ashwin, who's the number two ranked bowler in the world. He's got over 400 test wickets and it's dry. They think it's going to spin later in the game. I mean,
and England have got five left-handers as well.
Yeah, yeah. And he did say at the toss, though, you know, you don't know whether you're going to be batting first or batting second. You know, it's one of those, well, you know, if you bat first, you know, you probably think, well, yeah, we'd quite like to have a couple of spinners, but you can't guarantee that. Obviously you can't. So I wonder what Joe Root would have done. He didn't say at the toss, he didn't commit himself. He sort of said, well, you know, it's a really difficult one. You know, we're not too bothered that we've lost the toss. You know, we think the pitch is a bit tacky.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, the trouble is, of course, you know, he's got to factor in the fact that at Lords he won the toss and stuck India in and they were 120 for none. So you put that into the equation. But I suspect, given the confidence he had in putting India in at Lords, he would have probably done the same with India, because he's probably slightly worried about his own batting strength and also realises that England's strength is in seam bowling. So any slight advantage they might have, he probably invest in and field first. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was hugely relieved when Coley decided to bat first.
But we're talking about the toss. But there was quite a lot of swing. I mean, swing was a feature today, wasn't it, as well? And we're not talking about sort of prodigious movement. There was something in the pitch for the bowlers early on. And of course, Anderson bowled beautifully. I mean, we haven't got any words left for Jimmy Anderson. We've established that this summer. We've run out of all the superlatives.
Well, no, you're right. We haven't got words left for him. We haven't got any words except a word could be evolution, in that he's bowled better at Headingley in the last couple of times he's been there than before, because he's been prepared to pitch it up a bit more. And again, going back to old adages, don't drive at Headingley in the morning early on in your innings. It's just one of those grounds where driving the ball, even a half volley, is quite risky against a new ball. And Anderson took a long time to take that on board, but now he's realised it, and two of his first three wickets were pretty much half volleys, but they just did enough to take the edge.
Yeah, K.O. Rahul was one of them, driving at Anderson, and Virat Kohli was another driving at Anderson. But he was just getting the ball to do a little bit away, a little bit in, you know, then the scramble seam, which way was it going to go? Was it going to go out or in? I mean, it's you know, he doesn't give much away as well. He was right on target. Eight overs, five maidens, 3 for 6. Fantastic bowling, and it sort of broke open India's top order. Mind you, I've been watching a test match over the last 5 days where Pakistan were 2 for 3. You know, 2 runs for 3 wickets and still came back to win the match. So, you know, you can come back from a difficult situation. And they got just the lunch, and they battled through. And I thought they were sort of just beginning to sort of, you know, find their feet a little bit, India. And I thought that fourth wicket just before lunch of Rahane gave England such a lift. It was actually quite a big moment in the day. And then after lunch, we had that clatter of wickets. I thought India were going for the 67 all out at Headingley and win the game option. Remember, you know, England, last test match was there. England was 67 all out and they went on to win the match. I thought India go, oh yeah, we can be bowled out for 67 and still win this test match. Because they went from 67 for 5 to 67 for 9. It was incredible. Was it 4 wickets in 6 balls? It was a bit like that Andy Carrick over against the West Indies when he took 4 wickets in an over. An absolutely rampant day for England. One of those days where everything you do just about goes your way. I mean, you must have had days like that, you know, with Middlesex, and you must have had days playing for Middlesex where, you know, everything went wrong as well.
Yeah, and actually you had both of those instances or experiences in the day today, didn't you? Where every edge seemed to go through to the keeper or caught at slip, and then when England batted, nothing could get past. I mean, we'll talk about the England batting a bit later, but certainly it's a bit of a sort of forlorn experience when you find late in the day that you just can't seem to even buy a wicket, really. You're right, actually, about Rahane's wicket, because you know they felt that they'd seen off that sort of awkward stage, and it was Craig Overton and a little bit of Sam Curran bowling, and you sort of felt India could rebuild. And Pant kind of rather tamely got out straight after lunch as well, and suddenly, and that's the thing about India, they are fragile still. If you can get that top order out, there's, you know, and we obviously their tail wagged at Lords in the second innings, but generally speaking, averages don't lie, and Bumrah is still averaging only 5 despite that innings at Lords. Shami is just a walking wicket a lot of the time, and you know, so that proved today. So you know, if you break the back of that top order, you do feel if the ball's doing something, you've got a great chance of really routing them, which England did.
Yeah, I mean, when I did my prediction for the series for the BBC Sport website, I said 2-1 India. This feels like their great opportunity. Of course, it still could be 2-1. Is there, you know, that's still very much on in this series. But one proviso was that India's batting has been fallible in English conditions, and if England can exploit that, you know, then they can be successful in this series. And you know, there's still a long way to go, of course. But I think we saw that today. The ball did a little bit. And there was that fallibility, and England were able to work their way through. And as you say, you know, they got them, you know, they got that lower order in under pressure, and it's such a different game, of course, totally different game of cricket when you're under pressure. The psychology of it is absolutely fascinating. We saw that Lords, when England came out to bat on the final day, they really felt the pressure on them, because when the openers came out today, there wasn't quite that same pressure. There obviously is pressure, but there isn't that same intensity. Because you bowl the opposition out for 78, you're on a high, and the bowlers suddenly have got to, for the Indian bowlers, have got to try and drag their team back into the game. You go searching a little bit, and then if a few boundaries go early as they did, then you think, goodness me, the lead is only 50 now. You know, it's only the first day, and so the psychology of the game completely different. So, extraordinary days. Cricket.
The psychology of the game is an interesting area to explore, because you know the way heads drop or heads rise according to the state of the game, and in India at the end there, their heads were dropping so low that they couldn't even take potential chances, and there were misfields and overthrows, and it's extraordinary how the body language just sort of sags, and your optimism just is expired. And that is the difference. The balance of power sort of shifts so much in those psychological battles, which England have obviously won.
Everything England did worked for them. Curran got the ball to swing, didn't he, as well? So, you know, people were saying Sam Curran should have been left out. You know, why didn't Overton play for Curran and Saki Mahmood play for Wood? Well, Curran got in on the act today, 2 swingers into the pads, which is, you know, that's his method for getting people out, isn't it? Getting the right-handers out. hitting the pad, getting onto that pad, or just getting them to play a ball they shouldn't outside the off stump and nicking it through. So he did well today. Overton, absolutely fine. Anderson, superb. And Robinson chipping in as well. And one other thing, you know, Moeen got the ball to turn. Whether that was first day turn, I'm not sure. There was a bit of turn early on. And I just wonder if England do get a big enough lead. Virat Kohli talked about it at the toss. I just wonder whether Moeen might come into the game as it goes on as well. If England were able to get, say, a 250, 300 first innings lead, which is not absolutely impossible from here, not by any means. So, you know, so much going England's way. But a century partnership, Yoz. England's first home century stand for 6 years. So there's a stat for you. First home century stand for 6 years. And also, when a team has passed the other team, no wickets down, that's happened 25 times in the history of Test cricket, the team who've done it have won 21 of those matches by an innings. So so some good stats for England this evening.
Yeah, and also it's India's third lowest score on the first day of a test being bowled out as well. They've had a couple of 50s, I think, and this 78 was the third lowest. So good stuff by England. And 120 for none overnight, which, as you say, it's the first century stand for 26 opening innings. The last time was Sibley and Burns away from home. It's the 22nd opening partnership since Andrew Strauss retired. Amazing different combinations England have put out to open. The latest, Burns and Hamid, 120 partnership, unbroken. And I suppose what summed the day up really was the fact that Hamid got to 50, having played almost flawlessly, with an edge through the slips, which Rohit Sharma couldn't even get to, and went straight to the boundary. The Indian fielding sort of unravelling towards the end of the day's play. Just another example of the psychological shift. You can never have enough interest in cricket among children in the UK, with the game a force for good in getting children socialising and exercising. LV Insurance and ECB's £1 million Fund for Runs community initiative has provided an opportunity for Beacon Cricket Club to rapidly improve and grow their youth club. The Cornwall-based club, which is located within an area of deprivation, aims at utilising these funds to offer free membership for the underprivileged and also provide them with more youth cricket kits. They'll be also using the grant to improve the facilities, hire more qualified coaches and build a team for the under-11s, which they believe is one of the most talented groups of players in the country. Can't wait to see how they get on, and we'll report back in a later podcast.
So England at the close, 120 for no wicket. That's a lead of 42. I don't think we need your who's winning graphic this evening, yours, to tell us who's winning. But perhaps what might be interesting is what percentage chance India have of getting back in this game and going on to win the game. Because England in such a dominant position. I mean, it's one of those days that, you know, you have so rarely in Test cricket. So looking at this, it's not just India that are really low on the ground. They're actually below the draw as well. So what sort of percentage is that? It looks like about 4%, 3%, is it?
It's 3%, 3% for India, and 7% the draw, 90% England. And really, from about midway through the first hour, when Anderson had taken those three quick early wickets, the graph went from India 50% chance of winning, England 25% at the toss and 25% draw. So India with the clear advantage having won the toss. Within about 45 minutes, the England and India lines had crossed over, and England were soaring and India were plummeting.
Yeah, and it's absolutely no surprise that, yeah, the lines sort of continued to go in opposite directions, and then they sort of plateaued out by about the third hour when India sort of, you know, they'd reached a sort of an idea, and it just sort of just continued, didn't it? That, you know, when England gradually began to build that first innings score, that first innings century partnership, the fifth time England's openers have gone past the opposition score, and two of those were 110 years ago. So, you know, it's pretty rare that happens in Test cricket, only the fifth time for England. So Just looking ahead to this game, I mean, we've still got 4 days left. The weather forecast is pretty good. We think it might spin at the back end. What is India's potential way back into the game? I mean, it's hard to see them. I know they've got a very good attack, but you think England from here, and you know these predictions can make a fool of us, but it's hard to see England not getting at least a lead, a very minimum of 200, really, from here. They're already 42 ahead. They've got 10 wickets in hand. You know, India's confidence, you feel, will be low. England's will be high. So it's going to be, you think it'd be a minimum 200. And England will be looking for, well, in the region of 300, 350, if they possibly can. And if they get there, there's still going to be 2.5 days left in the game. India are going to need to score 500 or, you know, something like that in their second innings to stay in the game.
Which, of course, they did do, actually, at Headingley a few years ago. I remember 100 from Dravid and a Tendulkar and Ganguly. Remember, Ganguly hit a massive six and it landed on some bloke's head and cut his head open. And that was a phenomenal performance by that sort of Indian three Galacticos. But I think one of the key things was in England not losing a wicket in that last three or four overs, because it means that those openers are out there again in the morning to see off the early threat. It will do a bit more tomorrow morning, undoubtedly. It always does at Headingley. So to have those two openers who've got to grips with the conditions still with their wickets intact, and one might go early in the morning, but it's such a fantastic psychological edge to have those two still at the wicket to walk out tomorrow morning, and obviously a psychological deflation for the Indians knowing they've got to go back and have another go at the England openers again. I mean, it's going to do a bit more in the morning. England just have to play with resourcefulness. And I think, you know, one of the excellent aspects of that opening stand was not just that they defended the good balls, but that they scored as well. They scored, they hit some boundaries, they rotated the strike, they both received almost exactly the same number of balls, but there was a purpose to the way they batted. And it's interesting how, you know, when Burns and Sibley batted together, it was almost like they becalmed each other. But somehow, Hamid seems to, I mean, maybe I don't know if I'm imagining it, but he just seems to have energised Burns a little bit. Burns was looking busy and working balls just wide of mid-wicket for a single. Hamid was looking to try and, you know, if it was over pitch, to try and work it wide of mid-on. Obviously, put away the bad balls that Ishant Sharma bowled to him. So, you know, it wasn't rapid scoring rate, but it was nearly 3 and over. And that's so important because it just keeps the scoreboard moving, keeps the bowlers on their toes, keeps the field back rather than crowding round you, knowing that you're going to make a mistake shortly and you're not looking to play a shot. So it really has a big effect having that intent, even as an opening pair who are quite cautious.
Yeah, one thing that struck me is Hamid hit 2 offside boundaries fairly early on in his innings. And I was thinking, I wonder if Sibley would have hit those 2 balls for 4. I think there's one of them he wouldn't have done, because one was a sort of squeeze away and was a slightly risky shot. But there was a shortish ball outside the off stump, which he cuffed away off Ishant Sharma early on. I sort of had that thought in the back of my mind. I wonder how Sibley would have played that. Would he have just left it and let it go through to the wicketkeeper?
I bet he would.
Yeah. And so it is that intent, isn't it? And that ability to score through the offside. And actually what happened afterwards, straight after that, Ishant was bowling wide and he got hit for 2 fours and he bowled straight. And so Hamid was able to clip him through mid-wicket for 2. And so, you know, that was the bowler coming to him after, you know, you'd earned those 2 runs by hitting the 2 through the offside. And it was just a little small part of the day. But anyway, Dom Sibley's gone for now, and Hamid has taken his opportunity, you know, fantastically well. He did have a little bit of luck that we mentioned, the drop chance, and also there were quite early on there was an inside edge just past his leg stump as well. But it's a great story, the renaissance really of Hamid after all his struggles. Great start, and the problems at Lancashire, and he gradually got his game together. And it was wonderful to see it. I think there's a lot of goodwill towards Hamid. Everyone really enjoyed what he did in India when he started his Test match career. And so, you know, tomorrow I think that feeling of goodwill will be behind him to try and move him towards 3 figures, and that of course will be his goal, and it will be Burns's goal in the morning as well.
And of course, as a result, we definitely should award the LV Insurance In With Heart Award to Hazib Hamid today, because not only for his battles in this series, but just generally to come back from the dead effectively having had a really quite purposeful start to his Test career, then disappeared without trace at Lancashire, and having two absolutely woeful seasons and basically being sacked, and then trying to reinvigorate his career at Notts and finally doing so and sticking at it. And even after that first ball, horrible duck at Lords, looking a little bit better in the second innings, but now really sort of restored to something close to what he showed when he first played against India in that Test series 5 years ago. So congratulations to him. And as you say, some purposeful shots we can just see on a wagon wheel graphic here. 10 fours, actually, in that 50. So in a way, good signs that he was purposeful, but perhaps also a few more singles could have been had, because 10 fours out of 51 is it means there weren't that many singles, actually, in 113 balls. So that's just a little area that perhaps he can work on. I like the way that he plays the ball so late and drops it almost at his feet. And that's opportunities for singles, which I think will be recognised in due course as his partner starts to understand him better.
Look at all those people listening on the podcast won't be able to see it, but look at all those offside boundaries as well that we've sort of missed from an England right-handed opener. Why is there so much? Why do people take so much pleasure in offside play? I think it's probably more
it's called the posh side, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is. Yeah. Here's just one thought, Yoz, before we go. What a day for David Milan today. You know, recalled back in the side, 33 years of age. But he had to sit and wait and watch while that opening partnership was going. You know, all that. I just imagine all that nervous energy that David Milan used up today. Hardly saw him in the field. Didn't field in the slip cordon. But you know, big day for him back in the side. And you know, if you're an England number three, there's a reasonable expectation that you could be in pretty early on or any moment because of the way England's top order has gone. But not required. You know, just sitting there for 3 hours on his return, just sort of waiting, watching. I saw him doing some shadow batting at one point in their dressing room. Anyway, he'll get his chance tomorrow. But you think of a player sort of used up so much energy with that heart, but didn't do very much at all on that first day. Anyway, amazing day for England, really. So dominant. I wonder if India can force their way back in the game. So just one final question to you, Yoz. Would England take a minimum 200 lead from here? If I offered you a 200 lead from here, or would they be much greedier than that, do you think?
Well, I mean, that means 278, so no.
Yeah.
I think absolutely more than that. They've got to aim for 400 plus. They must aim for a 300 lead. And if they get that, there's no guarantee they'll win, but that gives them a massive opportunity to win. India could still draw the game, but if they get 300, so, you know, you're looking at another 200 odd runs, aren't you? 250 runs, say, to where they are now. That should take them maybe most of the day tomorrow. Still leaves 3 days for India to bat and be bowled out and England to chase whatever runs they need. So it's looking good.
It also, if that does happen, it also allows India to get 500 and bowl England out on the final day. Anyway, that's the worst case scenario or best case scenario for India. That's what they'll be looking at. But for them, a really, really chastening day. We'll be back to review the second day of this Test match when England will hope to have those 300 runs in the bank. Whether they will or not, well, we'll find out tomorrow. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.